Very good to see everybody here this morning. Our sermon this morning is going to begin over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I've been talking about this actually in my Wednesday night Bible class. I kept telling y'all that I had to hold back because I had a sermon already worked up on this. I wasn't going to give y'all the entire sermon on Wednesday night. And so this is a sermon I've been talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 22 is where we're going to start. It says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In the same book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. In these two texts here in 2 Timothy, he is talking about serving God. And he uses two particular phrases here that we're going to be looking at in our lesson this morning. One of them is calling on God out of a pure heart, and the other is serving God with a pure conscience. When we're talking about the heart in the Bible, we are dealing with the mind. When we're talking about the conscience, it is that aspect of the mind that distinguishes between good and evil. To where if we do something that is evil, we feel guilt. We feel godly sorrow, recognizing that we have sinned against God. The other part of the conscience is that when we do that is right, it commends us and encourages us to continue doing that which is right. So the conscience is that aspect of the mind that distinguishes between good and evil, encouraging you to do the good and trying to discourage you from doing the evil. What we see here is the idea of a pure heart and a pure conscience. What we're going to be doing in the sermon this morning, we're going to be studying primarily how do you get to having a pure heart and a pure conscience? How do you purify the heart? Because the idea of telling us to purify the heart, then there must be a way to do it. I can change my mind. I can change my heart. I can change my conscience and the way I view the world around me. Over in Titus chapter 1 and 15. Here is speaking about two particular different perspectives of life. He says to the pure, all things are pure. So if you have someone that has a pure heart, a pure conscience, when they're looking at the world around them through their eyes, they see things as being pure. But the other side of the coin is, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. Here the mind, the conscience is defiled. And as a consequence of having a defiled conscience and a defiled mind, nothing is pure. Another way in which this is described is over in Ephesians 4, 18 and 19. The text says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now notice three different phrases here. One, their understanding darkened. Two, ignorance. Three, blindness of their hearts. It is a consequence of having their hearts blinded, he says in verse 19, who are being past feeling. When you are past feeling, your conscience no longer burns. You no longer feel shame. You no longer feel guilt anytime you participate in sin. He says, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Here's the final conclusion of it, and that is you let go of the way in which you live. You give yourself over to all kinds of sinful activity. In Matthew 6, he describes the same thing using a different metaphor. Matthew 6, 22 to 24. The lamp of the body is the eye. Remember what we were talking about earlier? To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who have a defiled conscience and a defiled mind, nothing is pure. This text is teaching the same thing a different way. The lamp of the body is the eye. If, therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. It has to do with the way in which you're viewing things. If your eye is clear, you see everything clearly. If the heart and the mind is a pure heart and mind, you will see things purely. But the other side of the coin in verse 23, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore that light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The darkness is the defiled mind. the defiled mind, the defiled conscience that is not pure at all. And to that mind, nothing is pure. In the same context here, he goes on to verse 24 and says, no one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the reason I want to put verse 24 in here is because I'm wanting you to see in the context of talking about the eye that is darkened, he is dealing with the lust of the eye's materialism. That whenever your mind and the heart is consumed with materialism, that is going to affect how you see everything. Everything you look at, everything you think about, goes through the eyes of materialism. But when you go over to 1 John 2 and 16, I believe he talks about the different ways in which the eye can be darkened. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. If you have a mind that is controlled by the lust of the flesh, nothing is pure. It affects the way you look at everybody. If you have a mind that is controlled by the lust of the eyes, it is affecting the way you look at everything. It is all structured around materialism. If you have an eye that is colored by the pride of life, it is all about me. Everything you look at is always going to be only about me and what I want to do. These are the different types of darkened eyes, defiled consciences, minds controlled by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when you're looking at the world through that mentality, nothing is pure. Everything is darkened by it. Hebrews says in Hebrews 3 and 1, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice that word, hardened. The idea of being hardened is that the conscience no longer feels godly sorrow. When you participate in sin, you no longer feel guilt at all. And as a consequence, you just keep on going in the sin. You don't care about it. You don't think about it. You're going to do it because you like it. Timothy says in 1 Timothy 4 and 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Here again, the conscience is the part of the mind discerning between good and evil, condemning you when you do evil, encouraging you when you do good. But here the conscience is seared. We read earlier back in Ephesians that it was past feeling. We read back there in Hebrews, it was hardened. All of those are describing the same thing. A hardened heart, a seared conscience. It is a defiled conscience and a defiled mind. And so you no longer feel guilt and godly sorrow. So you just keep on sinning and don't even think about it. That describes the worldly mind. And the whole part of the first part of the sermon was trying to show you that you can have a darkened eye, that you can have a defiled conscience and mind. But the question that we ask is, can you have a darkened eye and change it to a clear eye? Can you have a defiled conscience and mind and change it over into a pure mind? Putting it another way, is it possible to repent? Is it possible for us to change the way we think and change the way we live? It's not on the sermon outline, but I'll answer that very quickly from Hebrews, not Hebrews, Romans 12 and 2. Do not become conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That verse right there teaches the possibility of changing. We can change. We can repent. We can be transformed. But it begins with the renewing of the mind, the changing of the heart, the purifying of the heart. In Psalms 51 and verse 17, this particular text deals with the importance of softening the heart, of letting the heart be humble, of letting the heart feel the godly sorrow when it comes to the sin that is in our life. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. As long as you are hard-hearted, as long as your conscience is seared and you don't care, you're not going to change. The Lord spoke about people who have eyes, but they don't see. Ears, but don't hear. And he uses a phrase when he says their heart is waxed gross. That's from the old King James. The idea is that the heart is covered with wax, and the Word of God cannot penetrate. And what he was trying to encourage them to do was open their eyes so they could see, open their ears so they could hear, and let their heart become tender again so that they would feel the godly sorrow and turn and repent, and God would heal them. But as long as the heart is hardened, you're not going to change. For us to change, we have to have the renewing of the mind. We have to have a broken and contrite spirit when it comes to our sin and our relationship with God. Going over now to James 4:10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The pride of life. When you're looking at the world with the pride of life, it is all about me. What I want, how I like it. If it feels good for me, I'm going to do it. I don't care what the will of God says. If you're going to be right with God, you have to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You have to get the pride out, have the broken and contrite heart, and let it become clay that is willing to change, willing to be molded. You cannot purify your heart if you don't take the step at the very beginning of being willing to humble yourself with a broken and contrite spirit to change. In other words, you're not going to change if you don't want to. You're not going to repent if you don't want to. You've got to be willing to desire change. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Repentance begins with caring about your relationship with God. Caring that sin is separating you from God. And getting the wax off of the heart, letting the Word of God penetrate again, letting the heart feel the guilt of sin, feel the shame of sin, and feel the godly sorrow, because it is only with godly sorrow that you're ever going to repent and change. It begins with softening of the heart and getting the wax off. James 4:8. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The verse here tells us that we need to purify our heart. He describes the double-minded. So again, we're dealing with the mind and the heart of one and the same. To purify means you get something out. There's something in there that's not supposed to be there. If you want pure gold, if there's impurities in it, you've got to get the impurities out. Then it's purified. What we're trying to do is to get a heart and a conscience that is purified, not double-minded, not having things in your mind and in your heart that are not supposed to be there because they're controlling and blinding the way you see the world around you. The point I'm trying to make is you can get the wickedness out of the heart. You can change the heart. You can change your mind. You can purify it. You can get the bad out and get the good in. You can purify. It begins with Proverbs 4:23. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this particular verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Everything that you do, everything that you say originates with the mind. Therefore, we must get control of the mind, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The way you do this is you keep and guard your heart with all diligence. You get control of what you are allowing, get this now, into your mind. Get control of what you're taking into your mind through your senses. Do not set anything wicked before your eyes. Get control of your television, your computers, and your screens. Do not take anything wicked into your eyes, because if you take pornography and filth into your mind, it is going to cling to your mind and your thoughts, and you will find yourself looking at the world around you through the lust of the flesh. It's going to affect you the way you look at everyone and everything. Do not let the filth into the mind. Get control of what you're listening to. I like every genre of music except rap. Opera's not that good either. I think the worst thing would be rap opera. But I'll be honest with you, I was raised on jazz. But jazz does not feed my spirit. I enjoy classical music. I was conducting Gershwin when I was a little boy. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I was conducting. But Rhapsody in Blue has never brought me closer to God. It has never brought me closer to God. There's only one kind of music that feeds the spirit, that helps you grow spiritually minded. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You need to listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Get control of what you're taking into the mind, through the ears even. I'm not saying other genres of music are sinful. I'm just saying they're not going to make you spiritually minded. Only psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs will feed the spirit to where you become more spiritually minded. Get control of what you're allowing to come into your mind through your senses. Let's go a little step further now. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." This particular verse, whether you realize it or not, is basically what we call obeying the gospel. It begins with a true heart, full assurance of faith. But notice this phrase I've got underlined here: having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. If you're not familiar with the idea of a sprinkling, it is going back to hyssop in the Old Testament, is what they use to purify something with. If you ever go into rooms today where somebody's been sick, you go in there with disinfectant, spraying Lysol everywhere. That's getting the bad stuff out of there, killing it, purifying the environment around you. The idea of sprinkling the conscience is purifying the conscience. Sprinkling the heart is the idea of getting the evil out. We can get the evil out. But the way to get the evil out is by getting the good in. A transformation is taking place with the renewing of the mind, the changing of the mind. You can change the way you see the world around you. From where you go from having a dark eye, controlled by a defiled conscience and mind, to having a pure conscience and a pure mind. Look at this again in Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" We opened the sermon this morning with Paul over to 2 Timothy talking about how he was serving God with a pure conscience. Here it talks about how you have your conscience being cleansed. Purify your heart tells me we can do that. Cleansing the conscience, that part of the mind that's distinguishing between good and evil, tells me we can do that. We can change the conscience. We can change our mind. We can change our heart and purify it. Now then, how do you do that? How do you do it? I cannot overemphasize the importance of this part of the sermon. James 3:17. "But the wisdom that is from above..." I want to stop right there. What is the wisdom that is from above? It's right here in my hands. What we're talking about here is the revelation of the Word of God that is given from God. The wisdom that is from above is first, notice this, pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I was talking about getting control of the mind and not allowing the filth come into the mind that's clinging to it and controlling the way you see the world around you. That's one step, keeping bad out. But the whole other side is getting the good in. And what you are taking in is the wisdom that is from above, the Word of God. Let the Word of God fill up your heart and your mind, listening to it and reading it. Going back to 1 Timothy 1 and 5. This is an awesome verse. Now the purpose of the commandment, let's just stop right there. This is the purpose. This is what it's for. This is the end product that God is wanting to be produced by His commandments and the Word of God. The end and the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Let's spend some time on this one. How do you change the heart? How you change it is by letting the Word produce faith. It is the Word that produces faith. And faith at its very highest level is love. The commandment, the purpose of the commandment, is love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, love from sincere faith. Love is a product of faith. This is why you must feed the mind the Word of God. You've got to let it sink in through your ears and your eyes. You've got to hear it and let it strengthen the faith and produce the faith and grow and grow and grow ultimately to where you find yourself loving God now with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And it is by your faith and by your hope and by your love produced from the Word of God that you're going to be seeing a transformation in your life. You change and renew the mind through faith, hope, and love. That leads to the obedience of the will of God. One thing the Word of God produces is faith, but the other is knowledge. Knowledge of what the will of God is. And when you have your faith and your hope and your love over here produced by the Word of God, and your knowledge of the will of God over here, you put those two together and you're going to have a transformation in your life. Because your heart has been changed by faith, hope, and love produced through the Word. And then your knowledge of the will of God produced through the Word. And by your faith and your love, you are keeping His commandments. There's the transformation. That's why when you go over to 1 John 5. If you remember, by the way, in the early part of the lesson, we had 1 John 2, where we were talking about all that was in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now he comes back to that here in 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He talked about all that is in the world back there in the second chapter, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. How are we going to overcome this? Because the truth of the matter is, every single one of us has looked at the world through these eyes. Every one of us has sinned. And every one of us has been struggling with materialism, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. How do you overcome that? You overcome it through faith. Where does faith come from? The Word of God. We have to realize its importance in our life. You cannot become spiritually minded without the Holy Spirit given Word of God. I want to close with Galatians 5. 16 and 17. This particular verse basically summarizes the whole lesson. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, we're talking about the problem is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and looking at the world without controlling your mind the way you think. How then can I overcome this? By walking in the Spirit. Why do you do that? How do you walk in the Spirit? You walk in the Spirit by letting the Holy Spirit-given Word of God produce faith in your heart. And letting the Holy Spirit-given Word of God produce a knowledge of the will of God. And then when you, by faith, are doing the will of God, you are walking in the Spirit. That is Christianity. When you, by faith, are keeping His commandments. That is Christianity. And when you are walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17 again describes the battle that's going on in all of us. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's a battle going on inside of us, in everyone's mind here. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit. You can feed the flesh through your eyes and your senses and your ears. Feed the flesh and let it grow in your heart. It's like a fire. And the more you feed, the bigger the fire gets. And the more it controls the way you think and the way you behave. The way you put out the fires of the flesh is with the Spirit. You grow more spiritually minded versus carnal mindedness and fleshly mindedness. You grow spiritually minded through the Spirit-given Word of God and listening to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Getting the bad out and getting the good in. The transformation is taking place is by the renewing of your mind, and in that mind and heart and conscience is faith and the Word of God producing your knowledge of the will of God. You put those together, you can change the way you think. You can change your mind. You can change your eyes and get it from an eye that is dark to an eye that sees clearly and understands how to live life. And then when you see clearly and understand how to live life according to the will of God, by your faith and your hope and your love, you can do it. That's how you purify your heart. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this morning who is not a Christian yet. If you have read the Gospels or heard it preached and come to believe that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to openly confess that faith that is in your heart. And then motivated by your faith, start keeping His commandments in your life. And one word what we call that is repentance. The changing and the cleansing of the conscience to where now you're letting God's Word mold and shape your understanding of right and wrong, and then you by faith are going to do it. If you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you in baptizing or the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already and you've been struggling with a hardened conscience because of sin, the longer you are in sin, the more hardened you become to it, and the more comfortable you become in it, and the less likely it is you're going to turn from it. Get the wax off the heart. Let the Word of God penetrate. Feel the guilt of your sin. Feel the shame of sin. Feel godly sorrow. Let it hit you square in your face that you sinned against God. And repent. Change your heart and change your life. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to just give your family to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song.
Oh, to Jesus.